Well, another week, another health scare. This time it's the Zika virus that's spreading alarm all across the globe. The virus is of special concern to pregnant women because of a rare birth defect it's believed to cause. Last year alone, some 3,800 babies were infected. Brazil is being hit hard. In this country, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is warning pregnant moms not to travel to affected countries. And U.S. health officials are urging doctors to test babies for the virus. Here to tell us more about it, our Dr. Lee Norman. He's chief medical officer for the University of Kansas Hospital and newly named state surgeon of Kansas. Dr. Norman, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Dr. Melinda Huffman's also with us. She's a family physician at Truman Medical Center. Dr. Huffman, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Dr. Norman, what is Zika virus and who can get it?
Well, it's a virus that's transmitted by mosquitoes. It's been known for quite a while, really, since the 1947, I think it was originally identified in Uganda. It's been mostly a tropical and African, southern Asian disease. It's recently been found in the Western Hemisphere, particularly Latin America, South America. And it's overall has caused minor illnesses in people, but it's this recent news that has really captured everybody's attention because of the birth defects that you mentioned at the top of your discussion.
Dr. Norman, who's susceptible to contracting Zika virus?
Anybody can get Zika. You can catch it, as I said, from a mosquito bite that is infected with the virus, and it got it from a human that was infected with the virus. And anybody can get it. Any age of an individual
right.
can get it.
Dr. Huffman, if a regular male adult gets it, should he be concerned about the potential impact here?
So, the interesting thing with the data that we've got right now on the Zika virus is most of it is concerning but not conclusive. One of the reports that has come out recently is that there's two case reports where it's suspected that a man transmitted it to his female partner. But in general, most people that get Zika virus have a very mild syndrome that resolves pretty easily, and it's kind of just a really bad viral infection that lasts about a week.
And so, Dr. Huffman, what happens when an infant contracts it? What are we seeing there? What's happening to those kids?
Right. So the evidence that we have right now is based on one study of 35 infants in Brazil. So there have been about 3,500 reported cases of microcephaly in Brazil, which is about 20 times more than there were last year. But what we're seeing is that this rapid rise in microcephaly could possibly be tied to this Zika virus. Microcephaly is a very dramatic condition. These children, don't develop normally. They are at increased risk of mortality. And the unfortunate thing is we haven't been able to prove this as definitively as we would like to from a medical standpoint. And we also don't know which trimester is particularly concerning, and we don't yet know what the risk is to a woman. So we don't know that we can say, okay, you've contracted Zika virus, there's a 50% chance that your baby is going to have microcephaly, or there's a 75% chance. We just don't have the data to adequately guide women at this point in time.
Yeah. And just to be clear here, Dr. Huffman, we're talking about fetuses. We're not talking about new babies, right?
No, we don't have any evidence that this would be a problem with infection with the infant. So it's what we call a teratogenic infection.
Yeah.
So a woman is infected and the virus passes through her placenta to her fetus.
Dr. Norman, the birth defect does what to these newborns?
You said the birth defect is what?
What impact does it have on these kids once they're born?
It delays brain growth and makes their brain growth abnormal. And as Dr. Huffman pointed out, smaller brains, smaller cranium, that is the bones that overlie it. And those things, there's calcifications in the brain. There can also be eye abnormalities that are noted. And they have profound developmental delays. There's been some fetal or newborn deaths from mothers that had Zika. As was pointed out, it's a little unsure as to the cause and effect of that, but mostly it's the profound developmental delays and structural abnormalities of the brain.
Dr. Norman, is there a vaccine?
No, there's no vaccine or treatment for the illness at this time. There are blood tests that can be done. There can be both molecular tests, which detect the viral particles themselves, either in the blood or in the cerebral spinal fluid, the fluid that bathes the brain and the spinal cord. And there's also antibody tests, a couple different varieties that can be done. Those are done in this country at the CDC.
Yeah. Dr. Huffman, you know, why do we suspect a link between a bite by this certain type of a mosquito and this virus? How do we know this?
Mm-hmm. So again, in the CDC's weekly report, the Morbidity and Mortality Report, they published a study of 35 infants who were identified, who had microcephaly and were identified as having Zika virus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the way that I would say is if you and I were driving down the street and you had a white car and I had a yellow car and I hit you with my yellow car, you would say your yellow car caused my accident. If you had a white car that was parked in a parking lot and it had yellow paint on it and my car was the only yellow car in that parking lot, you would say your yellow car probably caused the accident.
Yeah.
And so right now the level of evidence that we have is more like the second scenario. Really good evidence, really strong evidence that there's a problem. We know that the Zika virus is increasing. We know that microcephaly is increasing. We think that they're probably related, but unfortunately the data right now doesn't prove that to the level that we can say as a medical organization.
And Dr. Norman, we have a sense here that children who appear normal may suffer a range of developmental delays as time moves on. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. And as a matter of fact, the CDC just a couple days ago published recommendations that if a baby is born to a mother who is known to have been infected with the Zika virus, there's some specific recommendations about screening and testing that's done at that time. And if those are normal, they still recommend at 6 months down the road to continue the evaluation to repeat some of those. They're kind of a complicated recommendations, but it would suggest that just because a baby doesn't appear to have any abnormalities at the time of birth of a known Zika-infected woman, that it doesn't mean that it can just absolutely say that this is going to be a normal course from here on out.
We're talking about the Zika virus here this morning. And, you know, Dr. Huffman, this thing has been around a while. How long?
Mm-hmm. So the first reports of it were in about 1974 that it was first identified, but it was, you know, it's a cousin of dengue fever, which is, you know, a virus that more people may have heard of before this outbreak, but it has been endemic in Brazil since May of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think that that was when these problems really started, and then they've spread throughout Central and South America.
It's called Zika virus. Why, Dr. Huffman?
You know, that's not something that I'm familiar with. I don't, Dr. Norman, do you know?
Lee Norman?
Yeah. I had to look that up too.
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah, it's from the Zika forest in Uganda, which is where it was first identified. There were people there that were studying malaria, and they recognized that something else was going on, and that's when they dug deeper and found it. So they named it after the forest in Uganda where it came from.
And Dr. Norman, where is the virus for the most part right now around the world? What are we seeing?
It's mostly in southern latitudes. The mosquito doesn't do well winter climates. So I think of it as kind of potential for it in the southern United States and then on down into Mexico, Latin America, and South America. But the mosquito there's a variety of mosquitoes actually that can carry it, can in the summer months, and this is what's worrisome, I think, can go all the way up to New York City, Minneapolis, across that northern tier, the northern latitudes.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess the bottom line here, Dr. Huffman, is what should pregnant moms in this country be thinking about right now when it comes to Zika virus?
I think the big thing is, you know, I would recommend to any pregnant woman to avoid travel to these areas if at all possible. And, you know, if a woman is planning to escape uncomfortable Missouri and Kansas winters to travel to Central or South America, she should confirm her location is not one of the endemic areas. If for whatever reason a woman absolutely has to travel, she should take precautions to lower her risk of being bit by a mosquito. So sleeping with mosquito nets at night, wearing an insect repellent, wearing long sleeve clothing, and keeping her skin covered as much as possible.
I gather it goes without saying, Dr. Norman, that this is going to become a major health concern in this country before too long.
Yes, I think as soon as it starts warming up and the mosquitoes have a wider range, I think we're going to have much more of a concern about it. And I think it's important for the listeners that there haven't been any cases of Zika virus that have been where they caught it in our country. I think it's 11 states now that have reported Zika virus cases. They've all been imported from southern latitudes.
If people want more information, doctors, where should they go?
I think that probably the best is the CDC.gov, www.cdc.gov, and there's a public portal that allows for the general public, and it's a great source of information. They can click on information for healthcare providers. That's the one that I tend to rely on and recommend the most.
So the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention would be a great place to get more information. Okay. Well, I want to thank
the World Health Organization also published some great information yesterday.
Great, great. I want to thank Dr. Lee Norman with the University of Kansas Hospital, Dr. Melinda Huffman, a family physician at Truman Medical Center. Thank you both very much. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you.